episode of Behind Enemy Lines is brought to you by another Case Keenum interception. It's as consistent as it comes. If the over-under is 0.5, always bet the over. Thanks, Case. Welcome in, guys, to Behind Enemy Lines. It has been a long week. It's Logan Fisher here, flying solo because, you know, the other guys have just been busy. Our schedules didn't match up. And you know what else? They don't need to be here. Because, really, what more Chiefs analysis do you need right now? The Chiefs are the same. They're 7-1. Still rolling. 4-0 at home. After a 30-23 victory over the Denver Broncos. Albeit, the Broncos have played them closer than any other team this year. Held them to 27 points in the first game, 30 in the second, but again, the result has been the same. Two losses for the Broncos to the Chiefs, completing the sweep in the first 8 games of the season. And, I mean, as a Broncos fan, once again, just kind of a frustrating outing. Held them down in the beginning. They did get hot. Patrick Mahomes, 303, another 4 touchdowns, one of which on a very emphatic Kareem Hunt reception, I believe it was, because he only ran for 16 carries, 50 yards, which is not that great, 3 yards a carry, and felt like we held him down for the most part, but he did have that little reception where he hurdled one of our dudes, and of course, Chiefs Kingdom goes crazy. That was in the third quarter, the one that put them up 30-14. From a Broncos perspective, I mean, yeah, I think this just goes to show that the time of dominant defenses is kind of over, and I'm not saying that the Broncos defense is dominant, but I feel like we've played them pretty well for the most part, and yet them as a really good offense still. You know, Mahomes is going to get his 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. You know, you see other examples of this throughout the league of good defenses. You know, Baltimore went and played Carolina last week, and when a good offense is on, they're hard to stop. Carolina won that game. I think they put up 30 points on the Ravens defense, who's supposed to be the best in the league. So it really comes down to what can you do on defense to limit your opponent, and then you gotta score on offense. And you know, first half of this game we went in down 14-16 after a, you know, impressive 5-play 75-yard drive in 50 seconds. I mean, that was Keenum's best drive of the season, in my opinion. So you think maybe you've got a chance to hang around, but then the second half just bogged down, didn't score any points in the third quarter. Philip Lindsay is the man, 18 for 95, that's 5.3 a carry. You know, 18 carries, that's a lot. I'd say that's most of the season for sure. Royce Freeman didn't play. But I think that's how many he needs to get, you know, even when he's back, when Freeman's back. And I know we were down in this game, so it's tough to get a lot of carries. But he just needs touches, you know, throwing the ball too. In terms of receiving, Cortland Sutton, 3 for 78, led the way. And we're probably going to be seeing more of that because of the trade, and we'll get to that, of course. You know, Keenum's stats, 23 of 34, 262, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. The pick was a bad one. I can't remember. It was either in the second, or it was in the third or fourth quarter. No, it was in the second half because it was a bad one. Just a really bad pick, you know, when we were still kind of in the game. I think we were either down the 14-23 or 14-30, and we still had the chance to come back, and just on an out route to Thomas, didn't get it outside enough, or I don't know. To me, it looked like maybe Thomas didn't didn't feel the defender on there and didn't really break inwards back towards the ball. So tough to say, but again, not as an ill-advised throw regardless. So the only quarterback to throw an interception in every single game this year is Case Keenum, so he's not what you've been bargaining for in terms of the guy he was in Minnesota. He's already thrown two more interceptions than he did all of last season. So I don't know. It's frustrating. He's gonna have to play better, or they're gonna lose a lot more games. They're gonna lose to the Texans this week if he doesn't play better. So that being said, the Chiefs have a lot of weapons, and it's just about who you want to beat you on any given week. And this week it was Sammy Watkins. He went for 8 for 107, 2 touchdowns. And I don't remember who it was on one of them, but on one of the touchdowns, I mean, we have Todd Davis basically playing him in the slot one-on-one, and it's like, what? And credit to Andy Reid, for getting these matchups, but what are we doing? Like, a linebacker can't cover any receiver, let alone Sammy Watkins, like in the slot. It's just a simple, cut in route slant kind of thing, and he was nowhere to be found. Like, it's just really, really garbage in terms of the personnel and the getting that together. So you just tough to match up. I know the Chiefs are tough to match up with, but we got enough safeties and corners. We Simmons, Parks, Harris, Roby, like one of those guys needed to be on him. Not say that they wouldn't win. They would have won the matchup, but then at least makes harder for Mahomes to know where to go with it, I would think, because that's where you're looking immediately when you see a linebacker lined up across from Sammy Watkins. So, pretty obvious. The Broncos rushed for over 100 yards again. Obviously, has been their bread and butter. Would like to see them run it more. We did jump out to a lead in this game. 7-0, and then 7-3, and then it all went from there. 2 touchdowns in a row by the Chiefs. They actually missed an extra point, which kept it close. And really, even at the end, when we scored right at the beginning of the fourth quarter. That gave us 20 points, 20 to 30. We went for two there, and Lindsey was stopped just short. So there was still a two-score game. Otherwise, at the end of the game, with the 2 minutes left when we went down and we were stopped short, we kicked a 36-yard field goal. We would have gone for it there, obviously, since it was a one-score game. It would have been a one-score game if we would have scored the two-point conversion. So the game was, in the end, it was close. Again, playing the Chiefs better than really anyone else has, but so it just really makes you wonder, like, what this team is exactly. We're 3-5 now, 1-3 on the road. The one win coming at Arizona, in that beatdown against a very bad team, obviously. So, I think the Broncos are exactly what their record says they are. With potential to be better. And no, I don't think. The division's certainly out of the question by now. Just because there is so much parity in the NFL, I think that, wild card is not out of the question. They'd have to get hot, but at this point, I'm not seeing it. What I am excited about, again, still is this rookie class. Two good rookie running backs, I think, that are going to be good players for us for a long time. Josie Jewell is getting a lot of snaps at linebacker, and I think he's playing well. Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, of course, is hurt, but I think he's got a lot of potential, and Cortland Sutton's having a good year by rookie standards, and is going to get more opportunities because, and I've very mixed feelings about this. My boy, my man, Demaryius Thomas, traded to the Houston Texans this week for a fourth round pick. So it's going to be weird. We play the Houston Texans this week, so he's going to be back in Denver in a different uniform. So just a really bizarre coincidence, I guess, that that's the team that needed help at receiver, obviously, with Will Fuller getting injured and going down. And Demaryius Thomas isn't going to be Will Fuller. Will Fuller's been electric for them. But let's just talk about the trade. In terms of the value, a fourth round pick for a guy who's plus 30, slowing down a little bit, you know, obviously not as explosive as he used to be. I thought that John Elway did a really good job with this in terms of sticking to what, you know, because he knows that Demaryius Thomas is, you know, a legend, legendary Bronco, who just isn't playing as well as he has in the past, which just happens, you know, like I don't think it's his fault. He's just not the same. And to get a fourth round pick for him, I think shows that, you know, Elway wasn't going to trade him for, you know, pennies on the dollar, that kind of thing. I think I was expecting, you know, that he would have gotten traded and that it would have been for maybe a sixth. But it sounds like John Elway wanted at least a fifth and he got a fourth. So I can't knock him for that. Obviously, again, I do have mixed feelings about this because he's one of my all-time favorite Broncos. I have his jersey. Just a really, you know, good guy. I love his story. You know, he grew up with a single mom, and he had family that was in prison because they were basically getting by because they were selling drugs, and you know, he grew up around that, and then ended up turning to God, you know, and turned his life around and playing in the NFL, and you know, just a really good feel good story for the most part. And he had an awesome career, basically the second best receiver in Denver Broncos history, I would say, second in almost all receiving categories to Rod Smith. So, I mean, thank you, Demaryius Thomas. Great career. Loved watching you play. You know, we'll always have the the Broncos Steelers miracle in Mile High when Tim Tebow knocked off the Steelers in the playoffs. It was actually at home because I think we were 8-8 that year, but won the division. That's how bad the AFC West was at the time. And the Steelers came in, of course, probably 10 or 11 wins, I think, and were a wild card. So they were favored in the game, and of course, in overtime, walk off 80-yard touchdown on the first play, and it was over. I'll never forget that as a Broncos fan and how that made me feel, and really incredible. So, props to Demaryius Thomas. Good luck to you in Houston. I hope you do really well, and have a good rest of your career. He'll re-sign, I think, with Denver at the end of his career, you know, just to retire as a Bronco, I'm sure. He'll go into the Ring of Fame. He's a Ring of Famer for sure. But what this does do is open up the door for Courtland Sutton, who to me has looked really good all year. I mean, he's an athlete. He goes up and makes big catches. I think he's fast. I think we haven't had the opportunity to get him the ball on shorter routes, like in space, to see what he can do with that. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do. He's going to be a good player for us. You know, the guys are talking him up, of course. But to me, I think he is going to be good. You know, I think Emmanuel Sanders is still going to be the go-to guy, but I could see the second half of the season being a bust-out, breakout, you know, type of season for Courtland Sutton as a rookie. Just exciting, you know, you see a lot of rookies, they don't pan out, but I can already tell, you know, barring injury, that Courtland Sutton is going to be the real deal. So we do have that to fall back on. So I think it's a win-win for both teams. The Texans are hot. They've won 5 in a row. They just need someone to come in and contribute and fill a role for them. I think Thomas will be a good possession guy, whereas Courtland Sutton has the potential to now be a really big play guy. So you look at the Broncos offense now, and it's like you got playmakers across the board. You know, Philip Lindsay has made big plays, busts big runs. Emmanuel Sanders obviously can make big plays and has been leading us in receptions, touchdowns, all that stuff. And then Courtland Sutton can make big plays. So you've got playmakers, Case Keenum. So, you know, my patience with you is growing a little thin, because if it doesn't start happening here in the next few weeks, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, like if they're trying to lose out and then try and go get a young quarterback. But again, I don't think that Vance Joseph has the luxury of that. I think if he doesn't get 8 wins this year, I think he needs to win at least 8, maybe 9, maybe have a winning season to save his job. I don't think that he will be our coach next year if he doesn't have a winning season or at least go even. So he's going to have, you know, the guys, they seem to be playing for him. You know, they came out after the loss to the Rams. And that's another piece of solace, is they played good teams. The Ravens are really good. We've played the Chiefs twice. The Rams, the best team in football. So, and then, but it doesn't get any easier, you know. We played good teams, and the Texans are coming in as like one of the hottest teams. So, you got to win one of these games. You got to beat one of these teams if you're gonna say you're something. So, I guess that's probably about all I have for today. Again, sorry for the late pod. I know the guys will probably be back next week. Like I said, schedules just didn't work out this week, and I don't know if I could handle them, you know, just talking to me about how the Chiefs beat up on us again. So it's getting pretty dark as a Broncos fan. It's getting hard behind enemy lines these days. But of course, I will keep the faith. I will support my team, and we will rise from the ashes to win a Super Bowl by the year 2022. That's how long I'll give us. That's how long you got, Johnny boy, before I start asking questions. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Tune in next week. Be a little longer show, obviously. A little more dialogue. Appreciate you. And have a good week. Happy Football Sunday coming up. I'm out. Who is Nick Mullins? I wake up Friday morning because I don't care about the Thursday night game, because it's San Francisco 1-7 against Oakland 1-6. And I mean, I'm kind of glad I didn't watch it, because it sounds like it was boring anyways. But 34-3, the Niners beat down the Raiders with their third string quarterback, Nick Mullins, in his debut, 16-22, 262 and 3 touchdowns. Almost a fifth of his fifth of his completions are touchdowns, against John Gruden, the $100 million man. He's got his team at 1-7. See, that's the thing, Broncos country. It could always be worse. You could be the Raiders. Raheem Mostert, 7 carries for 86 yards. Raheem Mostert, a.k.a. Colonel Mustard. George Kittle is a beast. 4 catches for 108 yards and a touchdown. He snagged a ball just plucked it out of the sky with one hand in the middle of 2 defenders and took it 70-something yards. I watched the highlight of that junk. Man, the Raiders are broken. But kudos to... Is he a rookie? I don't even know. Nick Mullins. One of the best quarterback debuts I've ever seen. Props to you, buddy. You get the Easter egg on the Behind Enemy Lines podcast. Good for you. P.S. Broncos cover the spread, so Travis lost the water bet. Boom!
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.